And on the line now I have Linda Smith, who is National Helpline Manager with Women's Aid. Good afternoon, Linda.
Good afternoon, John.
I can't believe we're talking to each other now for years and we're still talking. Is there any let up in domestic violence or violence against women?
Well, unfortunately, as long as I've been working here as the helpline manager at Women's Aid, there has been no decrease in the contacts to all of our service here, especially the helpline, since we turned 24/7 service for the helpline support for women who are experiencing domestic abuse. It has absolutely increased. So it is important, even though you say that we're speaking quite regularly, which we are, it's a great opportunity to get, I suppose, you know, the message out there to women who are either experiencing domestic abuse or suspect that they might be in an abusive relationship, that there are services out there to support them. And that's really vital in terms of a woman not feeling isolated, that she is feeling supported and that she is feeling believed. When that happens, it can transform a woman's life once she knows that support is there and that she has access to the correct information. Correct information is vital to keep her safe, and if she has children, to keep the children safe as well. So we always recommend that women try and access support services local to them, or utilise our national free phone helpline here.
Yeah, and it's a very dark place to be in if you're suffering from this type of abuse. But as you say, Women's Aid is there to help, and there is a way out of this situation, although people mightn't realise or think there is.
Yeah, it's not an easy road, John, leaving an abusive relationship. I suppose one of the myths that we're trying to quash at this stage is that it's not easy to leave an abusive relationship, and it can actually be a very dangerous time. So that's why we always recommend that there's a maximum amount of support available to anyone who might be planning on leaving an abusive relationship. And as you say yourself, sometimes, you know, it may not be obvious to a person who's living in a situation where there is, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse in that relationship, that they might not be able to identify it. The perpetrator might minimise it, and therefore she might see that she's imagining that it's such a big issue, do you know? So it's really important that we don't reinforce those myths for women, that they will be believed when they reach out and talk to a family friend or, you know, a colleague at work. But just, I suppose, the most important thing, and it's always the message that we drive home when we try and raise awareness through programs like this, John, that women are aware that there are local services available to them, and the National Helpline is the gateway to all of those services nationally.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here now is the 16 days of action opposing violence against women, and that's going on at the moment. Yeah. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. It's important for us, I suppose, as services. So domestic violence services contact Women's Aid when we launch our 16 Days of Action campaign. And the theme of our campaign this year is hashtag Believe Survivors, and it's a purple ribbon. So we are all wearing purple ribbons to show our solidarity with women who are experiencing domestic violence or domestic abuse. So that's psychological abuse. That, you know, we believe them and that we're here to listen and support them. So it's really important message that we get out there. And, you know, local services around the country are joining with Women's Aid to put on, you know, displays or, you know, doing radio programs, you know, like to raise awareness like we're doing right now. It's happening all over the country. So Women's Aid, if anybody wants to go on to the blog, onto the website, they can see exactly what services are participating or what services around the country are doing as a mark of solidarity to victims of domestic violence and abuse across the country.
And what's the Change the Conversation campaign? Is that this is all part of the 60?
We're very mindful that there is a culture in society of victim blaming. So, you know, it's like, the question is generally the main questions asked, well, why is she still staying in that relationship? Do you know what I mean? That kind of turns the focus away from the perpetrator of abuse and looks at her, well, why is she staying? Well, do you know, we want to try and change that conversation to, well, why does he inflict that emotional or physical violence on her? Do you know, it's more about his behaviour, it's not about her. And very often I think we look at the solution, well, the quickest solution for anyone to look at is, well, won't the abuse end if she just leaves? Well, what we know through research and from what women tell us on our helpline is that absolutely it's the most dangerous time for a woman if she is planning to leave that relationship, that there is an escalated risk to her safety and the safety of her children if she's taking children with her, do you know? Yeah. So for us, it's not the end of the abuse. It's not the solution. And that's why we try and focus the problem around the behaviour of the perpetrator and make him accountable.
Yeah, this campaign, it's opposing violence against women, and you did mention earlier, and I'm glad you did that, the domestic abuse also entails mental abuse and also financial abuse.
Absolutely, and sexual abuse as well.
And sexual abuse.
So I suppose what we look at on our helpline statistics annually is, I suppose, the level of disclosures that we hear around all of those types of abuse. So generally speaking, the majority of the disclosures that we hear from women, and they're never isolated, John, there's always a combination of the categories of abuse. So there's never an isolation of psychological abuse. There could be sexual abuse as well, or there could be financial abuse, and physical abuse is the same. But psychological abuse is definitely something we support women around every single day that we operate the helpline, and it's the most prevalent of all of the abuses that we hear about, which is very scary.
Yeah, now there's been recent court cases, Linda, and one in particular was disgraceful. And do you find that women are afraid to actually go into court? They're not sure what way they're going to be treated?
Yeah, I think for women who are leaving, every single decision that they make along the journey to get away from that abusive relationship brings up anxiety, because, you know, there are decisions, particularly when you come to court, that are outside of your control. So we support women, and we tell women about the court processes, what legal protection is there that they can avail of. But, you know, I suppose unless women take that step, you know, they stay stuck in that situation. That's why we always, always recommend that if they are going through a court process, that they engage with, you know, our own women's aid services here, outreach court accompaniment services, or other local domestic violence services who operate court accompaniment and outreach services, so that she's feeling, you know, more empowered, more supported. Very often women will have solicitors, and we always recommend that if a woman is going to any hearing, that she is accompanied by a solicitor to speak on her behalf, and, you know, to give her the best possible outcome, but also that she engage with the local services, because you can imagine going to court is a very scary prospect. You know, there's a lot of legal jargon that women might not be familiar with, and it's not their everyday environment that they would be in, so it can be very scary and daunting. So to have a support worker with you during a very anxious time or period in your life is really important, to try and, I suppose, comfort you on some level, but also to make that connection and give you the emotional support that you need as well.
Yeah, and a person leaving a situation like that is going to be not well off financially. And it was that, remember, there was a thing where victims of domestic abuse had to pay for legal aid. Has that been done away with completely, Linda, do you know?
They've reduced their charge. It used to be 150, I think it's gone down to €30 now. But there is also a waiver that women can apply for. So just to make people aware of that they don't necessarily have to pay it, but there is a minimal charge, but they can apply for a waiver. So that is a process that they can go through as well.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous situation to be
absolutely
in.
Absolutely, yeah. So things are a little bit easier. But as I said, I think when women are going through this process, the important message really is that they get support from domestic, a specialist domestic violence support service, so that, you know, we're familiar with all of these arrangements and the information, so the woman herself doesn't have to feel that she is, you know, scurrying for information herself. So it just makes things a little easier for the women. Well, as easy as it is, you know, as it can be. So,
yeah, and for the guards, things weren't easy for the guards, because it's very hard to prove mental abuse or financial abuse. Or, but there's new legislation coming into effect, I believe, in the new year. Am I correct?
There is new legislation coming into effect, and part of the legislation is going to further support victims of abuse who have to go to court or who are intending on going to court, that they can. And I think it's one of the most important pieces of legislation for women who find themselves in court, that they can bring an advocate or a domestic violence support worker in with them. So if you can imagine that a woman has been, you know, talking about, you know, what she's experienced in that relationship for a long period of time and has been seeking support through a specialised service, that, you know, to have that support cut off when you need it the most, and that is going into court, where people weren't allowed into court, yeah, that now going forward, that advocate or that support, that specialised support person will be able to attend court to be with that woman beside her during that hearing, which will be fantastic. It's a difficult job for the guards. The guards, yeah, do have a job to do. They have a duty to investigate. They have a duty to take statements. I mean, the guards are doing their best. We hear very good examples of excellent practice by the Gardaí in terms of their response. But, you know, we also hear poor practice as well. But I think the Gardaí are making strides to, with their new protective units that they are establishing at the moment, that they are making strides to ensure that the victims of domestic violence are protected at all levels of the law.
Okay, Lindy, you mentioned earlier on wear a Believe Survivor's Purple Ribbon to show you stand with women. Are these still available? Or?
Well, what we do is we have a list of services around the country who join us around the 16 days campaign, and it's the UN Day Opposing Violence Against Women, and it runs up to the 10th of December. So, as I said, all of the services would have, who wanted to engage and you know, I suppose work in solidarity with Women's Aid particularly, would have applied for a PAC. So yeah, it's about contacting the administration line in Women's Aid to ask for the ribbons and for the hashtag Believe Survivors wallet.
So it's not available to everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. If anybody wants to contact the service, they're more than welcome. They can contact our administration line, and I can give you the number, but they can also... I was going to say they can ring the helpline, but I prefer if administration, yeah, calls would, yeah, go to the administration reception line. The little wallet card is to support survivors. So it literally on one side, John, says, "I believe survivors." And on the other side is the Women's Aid logo, listening, believing and supporting. And there's the 24-hour national helpline free phone number there. And the website address as well. So it's a handy little card for anybody, not necessarily a victim of violence to carry around, but just to have in their wallet, that if they do come in contact with somebody, you know, who might mention that they're looking for such a service for support, that they'd have the details at hand. So, yeah, and we have the little purple ribbons as well.
Yeah, and am I right in saying that can be ordered free from 16 days at womensaid.ie? Okay. Do you just want to give us the helpline number?
Yeah, the helpline number is 1-800-341-900. And our administration line, if anybody wants to ring to look for the PACs, is 01-6788-858.
6788-858.
That's it, yeah.
Now, I just want to mention as well that... The helpline it doesn't just help the victims. If there's people and they're suspicious that they're a friend of theirs or a relative of theirs, yeah, is suffering from this abuse, they can contact you as well.
Absolutely. really important, I suppose, that if somebody identifies that there is abuse in a relationship, that they are signposted to support services that are available to them. Very often people will disclose to family or friends first if they're not aware of services like ours. So it's important that, you know, if they are aware of somebody, that they can give us a call. We can support them to support the one that they're concerned about, or their loved one, their family member or their friend. And we have specific ways of supporting them that's separate from supporting the victim. But we always, always encourage that you're not on your own, regardless of whether you're an advocate, a supporter, or if you are a victim, that we're here to support you.
Yeah, and we always say that that first step to pick up the phone and speak to somebody, it takes, you have to be brave to do it. And
It takes a lot of courage, as you know, John. Women, I suppose, have to first reconcile what's going on for them. They have to acknowledge that the person that they love or who they think love them is actually being abusive, whether it's any of the category of abuses that we spoke about. To pick up the phone to be able to disclose that is very difficult. But as soon as women do pick up that phone, you know, they know, I suppose, in the interaction and through the course of that conversation, that we are a non-judgmental service. We're not judging them, we're not blaming them, we are believing them. We're supporting them to make decisions in their life that will ultimately, I suppose, help them be safer, to help them keep their children safer. So we're non-directive, and, you know, thankfully we don't have to make decisions for women. The women are quite capable of doing that themselves. We believe they're the expert in their situation. But I think at times where there's crisis or a lot of anxiety, or if they've, you know, if a woman has experienced an assault, that she does have a safe space in order to look for support and link in with a service that's, you know, yeah, empathic, that understands where she's coming from, what she's going through. But ultimately, we work to empower her to make decisions that are right for her.
And I believe sometimes when your volunteers pick up the phone, there's silence on the other end of the phone, and sometimes it can take a couple of calls before the victim will actually speak.
Absolutely. We understand that, you know, somebody might be trying to make contact with the service, and, you know, there are silent contacts, and, you know, we spend some minutes talking to that person, even though they're not answering us. We'll talk to them about the service, we'll encourage them, you know, to call us back when they feel ready to talk. But we also know how difficult it is actually to find the words to explain what their experience is, and we absolutely understand that. And sometimes people can come on the phone and they're crying, they're in such a distressed way that they can't actually physically speak. Do you know, I suppose for us then it's really about just checking in with them. Are they safe at the moment? And, you know, trying to engage with them on that level. But if that's all they can do, and we can sit with them and be with them when they're in that distress, is just to sit with them and be in that distress for some time anyway, do you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the clock has beaten us, and thank you very, very much for taking the call. And we'll probably be talking again.
Thank
and
you,
it's terrible that we have to keep talking.
But yeah, but it's great that you're raising the awareness, and it's through your work that we're able to talk about, you know, other services. So thank you for inviting us on.
Thank you, Linda. And as I always say, I have great admiration for you and your team and all the work you're doing. Thank you very much, Linda.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.